What did you say? What
the
was
light
it?
For an adult's room. You know,
it's on or off?
If it's on and you want it to turn out, in other words, you said for a child's room and for an adult's room.
Same thing. As long as it's a remez, okay? Another example of that is where it's not called hana'a from the malach of the guy, is if they're just doing it to fix their own mistake. So this has happened. In other words, let's say they're in your house somehow or other, they're doing something else, you know, non-malacha oriented, they're just cleaning up the house, and they went ahead and turned off the light in the bathroom. So there, if they would go turn it back on because they realized their mistake, it wouldn't be called hana from their malacha because you already had the light on.
Then you're
allowed to hint to them. So then you'd be allowed to hint to them to go ahead and turn it back on.
You
because
have to
again,
hint. You can't tell them.
Right, because telling is a separate isser of amir la'akum. You can't say it explicitly. So there's always two issues. There's an issue of amir la'akum, what you're allowed to say. But even if you're not allowed to say it, we're saying there's a problem of hana. In this case, it would be no hana problem because they're just fixing their own mistake. So therefore, you got out of the problem. So you would be allowed to tell them, that you can't say, well, why'd you turn why didn't you turn the light back on or something like that? Because that's again discussing the malach itself. You could just say, well, it's very dark in there.
It's very dark in there.
What if there's somebody like not religious in your house, and you know that if you say like in front of them, it's very hot, they're gonna go turn the air on. Do you have to like specifically?
Well, you can't be lifnei
iver. You're not doing it because you want them to, but like you just like everyone's talking about how hot it is, and you know they drove to your house. You know they might go and just like flip the switch.
You mean you don't want to be merabes in front of the guy because maybe he's the non from Jews.
Like it happened, we're like talking about getting a neighbor and like.
Oh,
so
there's
not. And I was like, don't touch it.
Yeah. Of course, you have to stop them. There's no shaila. And if there's a chashash of lifnei iver, you have to stop them. Yeah, for sure. Now, the exceptions to amir lakum. Okay, this is where this is where it becomes very important. Okay, so like we established, there's an issur of amira to say it, and then there's an issur to get hana. Where there's going to be a problem of hana, you're not even allowed to hint it, okay? Where there's not going to be a problem of hana, you'll be allowed to hint it and then get out of the hana problem. That's just the setup.
But if they completely do it on their own.
Now this again, right, this is all talking about when they're doing it for you, okay? And that's another good example. So if, let's say, like you said, so a couple of examples were given. Let's say you tell the person, I need a pair of socks from that drawer in the child's room or whatever, and I need something from the pantry, from the laundry room. And the light's off there, and they go in there and turn it on. Then you can walk in after them and say, "Stop! Don't turn it off."
If they turn the heat on or the air on in another part of the house
for themselves,
But what if it's not for themselves? You're staying somewhere, and the temperature drops, and it's Shabbos already. You don't say anything. You don't even realize it. But the guy goes and
he did it for you.
Flips.
If he's doing that's not so posh. Because if he did it for you, then it could be the whole Shabbos you'd be benefiting from that. I don't know if you have
child.
To leave. Also, the child will see. The child, the point is that they need it for to be able to sleep properly. They need it for their health, and others
right.
to sleep properly, whatever.
What if an adult is really
if it's a choyle? No, just because they're not going to sleep well doesn't mean it's not enough for an adult. It has to be that they're sick.
What about an older person who's going to...
It has to be a chayli. If they're a chayli, you know, we'll see the exemption.
What's the exact definition?
I mean, okay, so we're gonna define it. Well, we will define it.
But
okay?
Also, we keep saying if someone does it for themselves, but like if you have a cleaning lady in your house and they're supposed to do a job, they're here, they're cleaning. She unplugged my crock pot in the middle of Shabbos.
Well, that's what
because
we
she had to get the job done. If I need, but she did it for me or she did it for her. Or she's vacuuming my carpet.
Well, that's what's the problem
of
unplugging the thing. You're not benefiting from it.
Well, I really did want it to stay unplugged in, and I was told I could have really told her to plug it back in. Like she had
you
just
want it to be,
it.
You want it to be plugged back in?
I really did, but I thought I couldn't tell her to plug it back in. So
that's
so fun.
What we're saying is you're not allowed to tell her, but you could be miraculous to her.
No, but let's say she's vacuuming your floor or whatever. Is she doing it for you or is she doing it for her? She has to get the job done because that's her job.
No,
I was outside and I walked back in and the lady's vacuuming my carpet. I didn't tell her
to.
I told her only to clean my kitchen and I come back in and she's vacuuming the carpet. So, but was she doing it for herself? Because
well, yeah, but in your house, like something like that, that makes a lot of noise and it's a public thing, you should stop.
You weren't even, I just walk in and she's getting her vacuuming.
Yeah, yeah, you should, like I was in someone's house for Yom Tov once, and I went to, I came back early before everyone else, I was the only one in the house, and the cleaning lady was there, and she was, it was Yom Tov, and then she was doing laundry in the laundry machine. So I told them to stop. It wasn't my house, but I told them to stop. And then she says, oh, I thought you're allowed because I saw them cooking. So she
smart one.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so what are the exemptions? What are the cases that you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do malacha? So the first thing is, some say l'tzarach mitzvah. We don't really pass like that, so we're going to skip that. One important example.
I have one last question. As far as if they're cleaning silverware and dishes and stuff, if they have it on hot,
right. Okay, I'm going to get to that. I don't know where I put that down, but it's in here somewhere to talk about. So now. The first case where it's mutter to do a mir la'akum is during Bein Hashmashos. So during Bein Hashmashos means even if you were Makabel Shabbos and you already did Hadlakas Neiris, but it's before Tzeis HaKochavim. So before Tzeis HaKochavim would mean, you know, I think you could be lenient up to about, for sure, about 20 minutes after sunset, after Shkia. So that would be about like 35 or 40 minutes after you light the candles. And you realize that something needs to get done, you're allowed to explicitly ask a non-Jew to do malacha for you in your house.
Ask them directly,
and you don't have to hint anything. You could directly ask, and even a malacha deraisa, it's not a problem. Okay? So here again, so let's take that example where you know you realize right after Shabbos that you didn't plug in the crock pot. Okay? So then you would be allowed to have to explicitly ask the guy to go plug in, you know, the crackle for you. The only thing is when we were learning this in our Chabur in Lakewood, so someone came in and was all excited because it happened to them that Shabbos and they forgot to plug in the crackpot and they realized Bein Hashmashos and got a blech on their crackpot, so they had the guy plug it in for them. Bein Hashmashos. So we said it's very good. There was no Mila Akum, but the Shalom was treif because it's Bishal Akum. So in that case, it was a problem. If your Shalom was, no, because this, a lot often what could happen is that you don't realize it was unplugged the whole time. So yeah, you could have the guy plug it in for you, but it's also anyway.
Wait,
so,
I'm sorry, can I ask a question on that? Doesn't Shalom have to cook a certain amount of time before Shabbos?
That's why I said if there's a blech on
there.
Even if not, you could put something raw up right before Shabbos?
If there's a blech.
If there's a completely raw right before
Shabbos? I've heard
that.
If there's a blech.
I thought something had to cook like an edible amount.
No, then that would be in order to say you don't need a blech.
Isn't that why it doesn't have to be either right before or enough time?
That's
that
without a blech.
Either it has to be cooked enough time that it's cooked, or it has
or
to be right before
right
with the blech.
It
can't be like 3 hours before Shabbos, not enough for it to be cooked.
Without a blech, right. But if you have a blech, everything's cooked.
So the silver foil, I can plug it in a minute before Shabbos.
Right, if
welcome to my house.
So
that's what I just want to make sure. 18 minutes.
So now, so the only thing is that if...
I didn't know that one.
No, yeah.
What? Something
totally
wrong
on a blech, you could. That's what
I'm saying. Before Shabbos, but clearly it won't be 1/3 or 2/3.
Why can't you? Why could?
Why can you? I'm saying.
Oh, if there's a blech, it's okay. Because the whole idea is that it's cooking through Shabbos, which is fine. You're not doing anything on Shabbos. And as long as you put it on before, that's fine. The only problem would be that we're afraid you're going to play around with the fire. So once you put the blech on, we're not concerned with that anymore.
Can you benefit from it after Shabbos? Like if the chalon is plugged in on Shabbos?
Well, in this case, it's Bishal Akum. But if it wouldn't be Bishal Akum, and you ask... Well, something that a non-Jew does for you, for Yisrael, you have to... right after Shabbos is fine. Yeah.
With a non-Jew, no. That's Bishal Akum.
No, not if it's Bishal Akum. I'm saying if they did a malacha for you, you can do it. If a Yisrael did malacha, then you have to wait. Let's say there's a non-firm restaurant or something like that. you know, donut. There's some places like that that they sell. They have a shutzfis or whatever. But if there's a Yisrael doing malacha for you on Shabbos, then you have to wait b'chdei shiasu. Then you have to wait for the time it would take for you to do matzah Shabbos. So you wouldn't be able to buy a fresh donut right after Shabbos. You would have to wait 2 hours or whatever. But by Nandri you could. But anyway, so Ben Ashmosha. So let's say, you know, you just lit the candles and your husband goes off to shul and then you realize you have a cleaning lady still in the house and you realize that there's some sort of, you know, something or other which is going to, you know, bother. It's a little bothersome. You're allowed to ask them straight out. Ben Ashmosha.
Try one more time. Like, how much is the time of Ben Ashmosha?
It's until 20 minutes after sundown. About 15 minutes, but 20 minutes also. I think you can be makel. Up north you can be makel for longer, but here about, I would say, not more than that. Now, another area where you could be makel in Amir Lachman, again, when I say being makel means you're allowed to ask straight out, okay? And since is for a makum choyle. A makum choyle is a choyle she'en boi sakana. It means obviously someone that's a yesh bo sakana, that's he's in a dangerous situation, then you could do yourself do malacha to save the person's life. We're talking about the life is not in danger, but they're really sick. Sick means that they're in bed or they can't function properly. That's what the choyle means. And they can't fully function because of this illness. So that means they have to be in bed, they have to rest. And if the only reason, they would be in bed had they not had what to do. In other words, the fact that you're still running around busy after, you know, the rest of your family doesn't mean that you're not sick. It just means that you don't have the luxury to decide that you want to go into bed. But theoretically speaking, if this thing would put you in a situation that you would have to be in bed for, then you're a choyle. If you're a choyle, you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do malacha for you, explicit straight out. So let's say the choyle needs a tea, and not just because they're in the mood of it. So whatever reason, that's going to help them. So they're allowed to ask a non-Jew to put up hot water, boil up hot water for them explicitly. Well, water is no bishul akum on that.
Oh, water.
Right.
Only the sick person can ask, or someone can ask for them?
You can ask for them. You're allowed to ask. Let's say the person, again, so here's where for an adult, if they need to sleep, and the sleep is going to be beneficial for their choyle, and the light is on, or the light is off, you know, or the light is on, and you want to turn it off, you're allowed to ask them to turn it off with tzarech the choyle. Okay, so again, because the sleep is beneficial to their choyle. Or let's say it's too hot for them, they need the air conditioning. Okay? So, again, for a choyle who's not going to be able to, it's really going to be uncomfortable for them and it's going to make their situation worse. You're allowed to ask the guy to turn on the air conditioner.
This is Ben Ashmash.
No, this is the next example. Right. This is the whole Shabbos already.
So if the guy heats up a soup, let's say, for someone who's a choyle, could someone else who's not a choyle also have a soup?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, they talk about that. If he did it for that person, then I think you could, yeah. If they did it for the choyle, you know, l'chatchila. Yeah, it's very nega. It happened actually lately. That also another the case that happened was like this. Another case of a choyle is a child. So any child, and again, I called the dying in Lakewood today to just verify. Any child, he said until 9. He said the Chazon Ish writes until 9. So any child until 9, something that they need for their growth to help them grow, which is sleep. Or eating properly, or whatever. Now, if they're just being picky, but they could eat something else, you know, they'll eat something else. Fine, but like a little baby, for sure, that if they don't have what they only take a hot bottle or whatever, and there's no hot water, and you can't get from a neighbor, you could actually go call a guy and ask them to boil up water for a bottle or something like that. So if you have a very picky eater,
give the kid a bath.
What? Yeah, if they need it, it's a tzar.
Well, the poor baby like takes a bath before they go to sleep because it helps them relax to go to sleep on time. When Shabbos over at 9 o'clock.
I mean, yeah.
Theoretically
speaking, yeah. If you're not making it up, you know, in other words, if it's not just
it's like that's their routine every night.
It's not a dimian, you know.
Then you could ask
it's,
the ghost.
It's hard to yeah.
To turn on the hot
if
water.
It helps the child in a real way, yeah. Mm-hmm. Now the example that came up was. Exactly your case, that this happened, and they needed hot water to give the baby, so they called a guy to plug in the urn, and the guy plugged in the urn, and now the question was, could the rest of the family use the hot water? Could the rest of the family use the hot water? So, I have a chance, I'll look for sure. I have to look at exactly what the answer was. I don't remember. This happened. I remember this Shiloh.
I actually was once at someone's house on Shabbos, and the cleaning lady came in and said, I made myself a hot pot of coffee. Does anyone want? Mm-hmm.
And are you allowed to drink from that?
I didn't, because I just assumed I wasn't, but I don't know.
If they do that, they have a lot of problems.
If they do it for themselves, it's fine. But here...
I feel like she was trained to stay in that way. Even though she, like, they probably told her.
But that happened at my mother-in-law's last week. That the lady comes in, her caregiver comes in, and she turns it on right away. She makes herself.
But she even came in and said, I made coffee for myself. But I didn't want. They must have told her that she had some. They also have these people who don't turn the light on in their fridge because she'll open it for you. Like, you have to tell her, I need you to open the fridge.
Okay, I have to look into that child. Okay.
You're talking about whether people have from actual.
Yeah. Now. Another case where there's another exception is a malacha that can be done with something that can be done without a malacha. So I mean something that theoretically you could do, but the way the guy is going to do it is with a malacha. It's okay. So for example, washing dishes where you could theoretically do it with cold water and without doing any malacha, and the way they're going to do it is with hot water. That's okay because you're not asking them to do it with Howard. Now, if they know that you're picky and that you're very specific and you're going to look over the dishes and you're going to say, well, did you wash it with cold water or did you wash it with hot water? So she's doing it with hot water because she knows that that's the only way that it will be good for you, then that's also a problem. So they have to know that they're really doing it for themselves to make it easy for themselves and not just because that's the way you want to do it. But anything generally that you can do, they can do it. And if they're going to actually do it with the malacha, that's okay. Now, another, just going back, because I see another shaila that came up lately, is very common is a question of air conditioners. You know, in the summer, especially, if the AC is not working properly, can you get a non-Jew to come in and fix the air conditioner? So, l'chaira, if there's children in the house, and they're not going to be able to sleep properly, they're not going to be able to function properly, so... then you could ask the guy explicitly to go and turn on the air conditioner. If it's only adults in the house and they're not really sick, so they're not a chayli, so then it really depends. Then we'll have to see the next set of examples where it would be mutter. But kipshuta, it shouldn't be mutter to do it. And then it wouldn't even be mutter ayde remez, because if you hint to the guy, but then they come in, you're still going to get hanah from them. So kipshuta, we'll see, as of now, maybe it's a problem. In certain cases, in certain air conditioning systems, you could argue that it's only a issur d'rabbanan to turn on the air conditioner. And then if that's the case, we'll discuss in a few minutes what's the halacha there. So.
Okay, are there any exceptions to any of these ideas? Are there exceptions when it involves a larger number of people?
For a mitzvah, words, but not...
I remember vaguely, we had Shabbaton once for school, and we realized, Shabbos started, but it was ready, really officially Shabbos. According to everyone, we realized that the food hadn't been warmed up, so we just assumed we're
going to
be eating cold food.
No, well, food is different. That's what we're
going to
get to now in a second.
What about for the air conditioning? What about, once, if you have people who, how they say that they're extremely sensitive to these things, and once they start really complaining and saying they feel sick and everything?
Right. And I'm saying if it's a person, an adult that can't sleep properly, they'll get grouchy, but I don't know if that's called being sick.
Then your children won't complain because you're grouchy, and then you'll be able to
they'll be sick also. So, kipshuta is now. Now we'll talk about in a minute why how to get out of it. Maybe. And so I'm just saying in general it should be a problem. Now,
excuse me, Rabbi Blager, just fixing the AC can't mean the same as adjusting the AC.
Anything which you can't do. Yeah. Now. One other example. Now I'm going to get to an exception soon in a minute. But another thing that is okay to ask a guy to do is a psik resha. Psik resha means something which is not the direct result of what you're asking them to do. So for example, let's say you left the refrigerator light on. So you're going to ask them. You can't open it because you know the fridge light is on. So what you're going to do is you're going to ask the guy to open the fridge for you. Now you're not asking them to turn on the light. You're asking them just to open the fridge. Now, if they open the fridge, indirectly they're going to end up turning on the light. So Rav Moshe writes in the tshuva that that's okay
because you can ask them directly.
You can't ask them. Yeah, you can ask them directly. Can you please open the fridge? Because anything, again, if you won't be allowed to ask them, then you won't be allowed to hint to them either, because then you're going to benefit. So here, the point, well, I don't know, maybe that's not a benefit, but anyway, since what you're asking them to do is not the malacha, that's okay. So if you ask them to open the fridge, they're only opening a fridge, theoretically speaking. Just the problem is opening the light. You didn't mention anything about the light. So that's okay. Okay, so there's a lot of examples like that where the malacha is not the actual thing that you're asking them to do.
Once the refrigerator is open, can you profit with something so it stays open?
You can do whatever you want, yeah, at that point.
You just leave it open.
Right. Yeah, as long as right.
So that means if you're making a simcha in your home, and you
now one second. What you can't do is after they've opened the refrigerator, you can't ask them to unscrew the bowl, because that's explicitly discussing the malacha at that point. So you can't ask them to turn the bowl off. What you may be able to do is do remes, because then you're not benefiting from the light. Remember, we said turning off a light is not called a benefit. So what you could do is you could ask them to open the fridge. And then once the fridge is open, you could give them a hint and say, well, there's just a lot of light in there. So maybe, so then, yeah, so I don't know if they're going to get it. But if they do, then that would be okay, because then it's just taking away the light, and that wouldn't be a problem upon us. So that's the way you would be able to do it, but you wouldn't be able to ask them straight out to unscrew the bulb.
All right, this is a bit off topic, but what about if you're in Eretz Yisrael and you're keeping the second day?
Yeah, so that's...
But you have all these people around you.
Right, yeah. So that's what we said before. So asking a... No, that's a completely mutter.
Okay.
You got someone to do whatever you want. Yeah, you can do that. Asking, that's what I was saying before. That you got to ask someone that wasn't Makabel Shabbos yet. That's the same thing. What were you asking before?
Yes.
What were you asking?
Yes, so in other words, you hire a waitress. You have a share of breakfast and you have to hire a waitress. She could be opening and closing that fridge door all night long with the light on. You don't have to say anything.
Why? Because she's doing it for herself? Oh, because
but
you can ask them straight out.
No, but no one...
Right, you can ask them straight out.
It's not for yourself. I'm talking about In other words, but do you even have to ask them? If you're saying the food needs to be served, you know, salad should be taken out of the fridge.
No, you can tell them straight out to open the fridge. I mean, there is a sheet out there that in this case of the fridge, it's better to do remes, I guess, because there is a sheet out there that, you know... Rabbi Yashiv seemed to have said it was us or whatever, but you know, if you don't have to, don't do it 1,000 times if you don't have to.
No, but in other words, if they're hired for the evening and they know they have to put the food away, they know they have to, you know, that's part of their job.
And the light is on, whatever.
Right.
Okay.
Good. Right. Okay.
So now, we're a lot of kulas are is that there's a category called shvus de shvus. That means that asking a non-Jew to do. Now, you have to know Hilchos Shabbos very well for this. But asking a non-Jew to do an Issur D'Rabbanan. So you have to know what's an Issur D'Rabbanan and what's an Issur D'Oraisa. Okay? But if you know that something is only Issur D'Rabbanan, so like I said, then there's a lot more leniencies. Because then really it's two D'Rabbanans. Because asking a guy to do a malacha for you is D'Rabbanan. And here you're asking them to do a malacha D'Rabbanan for you. So it's two D'Rabbanans. So that you're asking the guy in the first place is only Asim Durabanan, you're only asking him to do an Issa Durabanan. So since it's two Durabanans piled on top of each other, so then it's more lenient. So the example would be Letzerech Mitzvah. Letzerech Mitzvah means if you don't have any hot food for Shabbos. Okay, so this is probably what you were talking about. If you have no hot food for Shabbos, then you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to warm it up for you. Now, you can't ask a non-Jew to turn on the oven, because turning on the oven is Asir, because that's an Issur D'Oraisa, okay? But let's say the oven is on, and now you want to put the food in the oven. Now, we spoke in the first year, you're not allowed to put food straight into the oven on Shabbos, because it's an open flame and all that, but that's only Asur D'Rabbanan, okay? So if you know that putting food in the oven is only Asur D'Rabbanan, and that's going to be your only hot food for Shabbos. So Chazal say, even if you could eat food on Shabbos, but you're not going to have hot food, that's taking away your Oinig Shabbos. So Tzorech Mitzvah, to have hot food for Shabbos, you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do that for you. So you'll be allowed to ask a non-Jew to put the food in for you. And then if you can't take it out, you can't take it out. But if you could, you could.
Do that with the hot plate also, if I forgot to plug it in?
No, because plugging in the hot plate itself is already like turning on a fire. That's an Issur D'Oraisa. But if, let's say, that's what I'm saying. Now, on Yom Tif, by the way, on Yom Tif, this comes up all the time. The Shaila was asked, people ask the Shaila all the time. On Yom Tif, what happens very often is people forget or don't know how to use their ovens, and they forget to turn on the mode, and it goes off. So then, by the second day Yom Tov, they have no fire anymore. So the halacha is that turning on an oven on Yom Tov is only because of the Rabbanan, because you're allowed to really make fire on Yom Tov, theoretically. But the Rabbanan, you're not allowed to turn on the oven. So there, asking the goy to turn on the oven is, again, to the Rabbanans. If you're not going to have hot food for Yom Tov, you would be allowed to ask the goy to turn on the oven for you, even.
I can't turn on your oven.
What? Well...
But you just can't cook.
You'll cook it. Or you'll put the food in.
The guy can't turn on.
No, if the guy turns on the oven and you put the food in, then it's also fine. As long as the food's not in there.
Restaurants, usually it's because it's the guy that's putting the food in. So the Jew has to.
Not if the food's not in there. If you put in the food. As long as the Jew is involved in the cooking, it's not bishlakos. According to Ashkenazim. What?
Do you have to give the guy something when they come in?
Not in this case. What you're talking about is if the light is off. So this is that they used to say from the stipler, a case that the stipler, that he was sitting in the dark and he asked the guy to come in, and he offered him a beer, and the guy came and turned. He said, "I can't see anything." He turned on the light, drank the beer, turned off the light, and left. So we're saying an Issur Darabanan. For example, putting the food in the oven is only Issur Darabanan. You'd be allowed to ask a non-Jew to go ahead and put the food in for you to warm it up. Another thing. Now this is where probably the other coolest for the AC comes in. According to some, and I'm not going to say across the board, but some air conditioning units, and you probably have to ask a Shala just to be sure, but some air conditioning units, most, playing around with them is only an Issur Darabanan. Because there's no real deraisa malacha going on when you play around with the air conditioner. For whatever reason, I'm not going to get into that now. But it could be it's only necessary derabanan. If that's the case, so asking a non-Jew to play around with the air conditioner, let's say the setting is on wrong or whatever, so it would be two derabanans. So if you now you still need a reason to do it. If the maisa, you're not going to be able to have a normal Sudas Shabbos. Let's say you're not going to be able to have a Suda Shabbos if your air conditioner is not working, because no one's going to be comfortable, you're just going to wash, and then you're going to have to even go out of your house the rest of the day, you're going to have to go to someone else's house, you're not invited, they don't have food for you, whatever, so it gets very complicated, and you're not going to be able to have a normal Suda Shabbos if you don't turn on the air conditioner, so that could be Litzarech Mitzvah, because you need a Suda Shabbos. This happened... See, a kiddush is a little more complicated because a kiddush is not clear what the tzarech mitzvah is exactly. See, this happened in the Kohel of the Shabbos. We had this question in the Shabbos that there was a kiddush, and Friday night, some of the people realized that the cholin for the kiddush wasn't plugged in. It was already cooked, but it was already cooked beforehand, but it wasn't plugged in. So, a kiddush is not really a tzarech mitzvah, because you will have hot food. You'll have hot food when you get home. You just want to have a geshmak of kiddush. That's not really a big tzarech.
Unless that's your meal. Unless you're having kiddush in your house and your family.
Okay, so if that's your meal, it's your meal. So that's what some people said, because there are some people where we have our kiddush, there are some people that don't make kiddush. Right. The taka don't make kiddush. They don't make hot food, or there's some older single men that they don't make a whole chum for themselves or whatever. So for them, that's their whole hot food. So some people wanted to argue that. But anyway, what ended up happening that it was still ben hashmashas. We pushed it a little bit, but it was still it wasn't tesa kachavim according to all the opinions.
Excuse me, in terms of the air conditioner, is that includes digital?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say exactly. I don't want to say clearly, but yeah, usually, yeah. I don't want to, because there's a lot of different systems out there, but generally speaking, yeah.
But the more modern ones, you're changing a number, whereas the older ones...
Right, but a digital number is only a ksiva derabanan. It's ksiva, but it's only derabanan because it's moving around all the time. Okay, so... another thing is with Makom Hefsid Merubah also. So in the case we spoke about last week, Makom Hefsid, which is, let's say, your freezer has got unplugged or you lost power on your block and the person across the street from you has power, so your stuff is going to get defrosted if, you know, if there's not a lot of stuff in the freezer. So if it's a hefsim ruba, you have expensive meat in there or whatever, so every person, you have to know what hefsim ruba is for you. But if there's a hefsim ruba, you'll be allowed to ask the guy to, you know, plug back in the freezer or take it across the street even if there's no air. Because that's only Nisadar Abanon, you'll be allowed to...
And you have an older couple staying at your house.
So an older couple could be the chayli.
And they're great, and they're very cold, and they're cold, and they can't sleep.
Yeah.
So, you can,
so that's a chayli, yeah, yeah.
You can ask a non-Jew director to come into your house and make it warmer.
Right. Because that's a chayli already, you know. For an older person not to get their sleep is a chayli. Okay? So, okay, that was the basics. Now, lemaisa, usually... When you need the Amir La'akum, it's very hard to like start remembering all these details. So really, most of the time you really should ask a Shaila because, you know, it's hard to put together all the details. I don't want to, you know, say you know everything from this, but very often, depends on the situation, things could change. Is it a Kaldu Mitzvah? Is it not Kaldu Mitzvah? Is it a Nisad Rabbanon? And therefore you should really ask a Mayor Hira. So that, you know, in each scenario, maybe something which appears to be mutter is also, and something which appears to be also could be mutter. But I think that I just wanted to touch on it because I think this is a lot, not everyone's all so aware of all the details. So, but that's what we touched upon, the isser of asking the non-Jew straight out, of the isser of being meramiz, where you're going to get hanah from it. The exceptions to that, and the exceptions where ben ashmashos for a choyla, and something that could be done without a malacha, you know, it's something you could do, and he chooses to do it for himself, is fine. And then the examples of ben ashmashos, and the example of where it's only nesedar abanan, where we mutal tzarech mitzvah as well. So, one other thing, just. To go me'inyan le'inyan, is what about asking a katan, or having a katan, your children, what's the chiv chinuch, and what about asking children to do malacha for you? You know, like the typical, you know, the light's off, and you hold the baby by the light until they press it enough times, and stuff like that. So what's the halacha? So the halacha is like this. One is never allowed. That's why formula needs to be kosher, and you need to have a hechsher on even baby formula, even though the child is not higia l'chinuch. The child is a child, it's a baby. But you're never allowed to give a child something which is aser. Now, it's not just something which is aser to eat, it's any iser. So just like you can't feed a child a non-kosher formula, you can't give a child a malacha to do. So now, let's say there's no erev outside, you can't give a child in their hand a ball to go play outside, because you're giving them the malacha to do. Okay, so that means that you're not allowed to, in any case, you're not allowed to give a child or specifically tell a child or hint to a child to do a malacha. That's always the case. So we're never talking about, and the Chasam Sofer says in a tshuva, and he's discussing this, someone asked him a question, so he says, well, why did anyone ever need a Shabbos goy? Everyone had children, so we should have just used our children. So obviously, he says, you're not allowed to ask your children to do anything for you. Even the smallest child, you can't even hint to them to do a malacha for you. And that's, like I said, that's not unique to Shabbos. That's true in all Yisur. You're not allowed to have a child do any Issa for you. Now, the thing with placing the child near the switch, if the child does not know at all the concept of Shabbos, or not even just the concept of Shabbos, but it doesn't even know whether that the parent is happy or upset with this. So in other words, sometimes a child that's 2 and a half, you know, already understands, well, they're going to be happy with me if I do this. I'm talking about a child that's even less than that. They don't even know if, you know, what the parent, they don't understand if you're happy or upset with it. So there, a lot of places say it's mutter. To hold the baby near the light until the baby's placed. Why? Because there, it's not even called a malacha. Because they're not trying to, they don't even know they're doing a malacha. So it's not called, it's misasa. It's not called a malacha. Right? It's banging the walls. It's not even called a malacha. So, but, I heard from Nissen Kaplan from Eretz Yisrael, so he said that he asked Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach this Shaila, and Rav Shlomo Zalman said, it's aser. So he asked Rav Shlomo Zalman, where does it say anywhere that what does it say? What are you basing this on? That it's aser. So he looked at him, and he was a Talmud of Rosham Zalman. Rosham Zalman told him, he said, there are things that it doesn't say anywhere that it doesn't say anywhere that it's aser, but I know they're aser, and this is one of them. So then he went, after that, he went to the Baal Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, Rav Neuver Zatzal, who wrote the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, who was a big Talmud of Shmuel Zalman, and he asked him, he said, are you allowed to hold a child near a light to have him turn it on and off? So he said, it's also. So he said, Rebbe, where does it say that? So he said, there are some things that don't say anywhere that it's also, but I know they're also, and this is one of them. Mm-hmm. So he said, apparently, the big place can feel that it's also to do it.
But if a child does
but it. But I saw in this Sefer Aruch HaShabbos, he says it's mutter. You know, so it depends on the tzarech, I guess, you know. But again, it's a very, very small child we're talking about.
But if the child does do it, can you have benefit from
yeah,
it?
Yeah, in that case, yeah. Yeah, but
not even in that case, in general. Like this Shabbos, we forgot to turn the light on. So I went and opened all the curtains. So it was
yeah, you're
nice.
Right.
And my
yeah.
baby came up to me. My kid said, why are you opening the curtains? It's a little dark. Like, just stop telling them.
Right.
And my baby says, it's not dark in here, mommy. And right. he takes the chair and yeah. he went up and he turned
yeah,
the
okay.
light
on. Okay, so yeah, you're allowed to benefit from it.
So I was in charge of how to go eat in the kitchen.
No, you're allowed to benefit from it. But, however, here's where Shabbos, here's what's unique about Shabbos, and this is what's interesting. Is that what about stop? So here we're talking about letting the child do it, encouraging the child. What about stopping? This is more common. Mm-hmm. Stopping the child from doing a malach. So if the child is higia lechinuch, and you have to teach them about Shabbos, of course you have to stop them from doing anything which is wrong. That's part of the chiyuv chinuch is to teach them. What about a child who's not higia lechinuch? Let's say you know less than 5, 6, 7 years old. So here's where it's interesting. If he's doing the malacha for himself. That's fine. You don't have to stop them. So if they have a muktzah toy and they make noise and they're playing and they find a toy that makes noise and whatever, that's fine. There's no isser and you don't have to stop them. They go into their room and it's dark and they want to turn on the light and play and they're not higiyah l'chinuch, then you don't have to stop them because they're doing it for themselves. That's fine. In Shabbos, there's one halacha that does not exist in every other place. Because we say in Kiddush, we say in the Torah says, and we say it in Kiddush, it says, Zochas Yom Shabbos Kachoy, and let's see the passage. It says, just to make sure we get it right, here. V'yom Hashi Shabbos Hashem Agacha, Leisasa Kol Malacha, don't do Malacha. Ata, you, Uvincha, or your son, Uvitacha, or your daughter. So what does this mean? Don't do malacha, you or your daughter. I mean, if they're a gila chinuch, it's always like that. I mean, they have their own obligation. So why is it telling me that I have to make sure that the son or the daughter doesn't do malacha? So the Beis Yosef says from Rashi that there's an Isser D'Oraisa on Shabbos that does not apply to any other Isser. That if your child does malacha for you, at whatever age, it's Asam D'Oraisa. And you have to stop them.
So wouldn't that be turning on the light?
Yes. Yeah. So that means that if your child, this remember what happened to us, that a child comes in and they said, oh, we just were playing in your room and we turned on the light. So they saw we weren't too happy about that. So they run and turn off the light. They're running back to the room. So halacha is you have to run after them and stop them. Because the halacha is that if a child is doing malacha for the parent, then that's the chiv of the parent to stop them. And this is talking about even lo higia l'chinuch. So it means the youngest child, even a two-year-old. If the two-year-old knows that that's going to make the parent happy when they do this malacha, then you have to stop them from the pasuk of ata uvincha. It means that you can't do malacha and you can't have your child do malacha for you. You can't let the child. So here's where Shabbos has this unique chiyuv chinuch more than any other mitzvah in the Torah. Because every other mitzvah is not like that. Every other mitzvah is if it's not higia l'chinuch, it's not higia l'chinuch, it's fine. But here, whatever age child, so this is very nogea, exactly in this case, let's say that...
So I should have told him not to turn, I should have stopped
if
him.
If you would have realized that the child was going up to do that, then you should stop him, right.
But if they did it and you're not in the room?
Yeah, that's fine. I'm not talking about Hana now. Hana is okay. But if you see it happening, then and you know, I mean, if they're doing it for themselves, and they have no idea, you know, they're not doing it for you, then they're doing it for themselves. But here, where they're doing malacha for you, this is a big chiddush. And according to the Beis Yosef, according to the Shulchan Aruch, it's part of the Isser D'Oraisa of Shabbos to have a child do malacha for you. So obviously, you can't ask them. We're saying, but even if they're doing it for you without you asking, you have to stop them. You have to stop them from doing it. So anyway, I hope that you know I appreciate that everyone gave me opportunity to. prepare and try to give some clarity on the halachas, and I hope it was helpful. And Mr. Shem Shal B'Zoicha, that it should be Me'oiras in the proper Shmira of Shabbos. And we should be Zoicha that in the S'chus of Shmira Shabbos Kochos, we should be Zoicha to be as Gerotzen, where we may not.